Hi, this is Angela Middleton, and welcome to my podcast called I Want to BA. The reason for this podcast is that there is a huge lack of careers advice in the UK, and I'm always asked by young people, by parents and by teachers, my views on improving careers advice, and particularly by parents, what should they say to their youngster who's leaving school. I think it is a wider subject. It's not just about what job do you want to do, but it is actually about how you want your life to be. And within that, what type of career you want to select. And that career can just be the first stepping stone. Nowadays, individuals have a whole portfolio of careers. The people that I've interviewed, even at the age of 30, have had four or five careers. Myself, I've had at least five different types of careers. So this podcast is about firstly talking about careers in general and careers advice, but secondly, bringing in individuals who have experienced careers in particular industries, hence the subject I Want to BA, and they can come and talk about the path that they took to actually get to where they are and also talk about what it's like to actually do that job and have that career. So we'll be covering every type of career that we can think of in the UK, and it will be everything from architects to zoologists. So I'll look forward to comments, and we'll build things up as we go along, and hopefully it should be of great use to parents, to teachers and to young people. So today I have with me Luke Bradford, and we're going to talk about videography and film making. Luke is interesting because he always wanted to make films. He says that he realised this from the age of four and has followed that dream ever since and become a very successful filmmaker. Luke's story is very interesting as well because he talks about passion projects, which are things that you do because you are passionate about them, such as making films, even when you're not being paid to do so, and thereby creating a portfolio, which is going to be very attractive when you're actually in an interview situation. Much better to have material to demonstrate what you can do as opposed to just say what you can do. Filmmaking can be quite glamorous, and indeed Luke did actually mix in a very glamorous world, and he worked for some large organisations such as FHM and travelled all around the world, and he got caught up in that a bit as well, and he will explain that to you, some of the issues that he encountered personally whilst he's been on his journey and the ways that he bounced back from that. So Luke, thanks so much for joining us.
Absolute pleasure.
I would love to start off by hearing about your journey from when you were at school to where you are now. So give us a rundown.
Okay, so I feel very lucky that I've had a very clear idea about what I've wanted to do since an early age. So I've wanted to be a filmmaker since the age of four, and this came about through me passionately watching the A-Team and then watching the making of the A-Team, and at first I was absolutely distraught that this thing wasn't real. But then my parents told me, no, it's somebody's job to create this and to make this thing. So it was at that moment I decided, well, that's what I want to do for a living.
And that was actually preschool, age four.
That was preschool. That was very early on.
So tell us about the school you went to.
Okay, so I went to school on the south coast of England in a place called Shoreham, which is near Brighton, and all the way through to college there.
And how was school for you? Did you enjoy it?
It was good. I'm not an academic naturally. I had to work really hard to get the right grades to get me into university. So the things that I'm bad at, I'm really bad at, maths and languages. Things that I'm good at, I'm pretty good at. So that's what got me through.
And, you know, were you a hard worker? Were you confident? What sort of personality did you have at school?
Probably in the slightly geeky crowd, but I had to work really hard. I wasn't, like I say, I wasn't a natural academic, so I did have to put the hours in.
And popular, did you do any sort of filmmaking or anything like that when you were at school?
The only thing that made me slightly, well, I wouldn't say popular, but the cooler kids couldn't work me out because I had an older brother, so I was out nightclubbing way before my time, and so worked hard in school but yet was out in the nightclub, so they couldn't quite work me out.
But you were averagely academic, you say. You achieved your GCSEs.
I achieved the GCSEs. Like I said, I really had to put in the hours. Maths, I had to have extra tuition outside of school just to get me that C to get me into university. I was very, very clear about what university course I wanted to go on. I needed a C in maths to get me there.
And you did A-levels as well?
Yes.
And which A-levels did you do?
I did theatre studies, media studies, art and design, and then an additional GCSE in photography.
So you were very focused, even at that age.
I was very, very focused, very determined. In fact, the GCSE in photography, I could only do that if I passed my maths, because I was going to have to retake that otherwise. So that was the focus for me, was to get that pass. I got the pass, I got the C, which meant that I could do the photography. I turned up to my college class and they told me, I'm sorry, but it's full. You were sort of appending. And I didn't accept that. So I kept turning up to the lesson and I just said, I've worked so hard to be here. I can't not be here. After the third lesson, they sort of created a space for me. And then I ended up getting an A star. I was the only guy that got an A star. So I sort of really fought for that place and it paid off.
Absolutely. And when you went on to university, what did you actually do at uni?
I did television and video production, BA honours at Bournemouth University.
And again, you know, you were carrying with you still that really clear goal of being a filmmaker, were you?
Always. That never went away.
And why do you think that was?
I don't really know where it's come from. My understanding about wanting to tell stories has kind of evolved over the years. I guess in the early days, part of it was, wow, wouldn't that be a good way to be popular or whatever? There was perhaps an element of that, but that went away very, very quickly. Now it's the ability to be able to tell people's stories and make a difference in the world.
And you were so driven by this that when you were applying to university, you were saying that although you were advised to apply for six universities, you actually only applied for two.
That's right. I kind of, rightly or wrongly, I don't want to encourage people to not do what they're advised, but I was advised to, like you say, to have six names down there. But there was only two courses that I wanted to do. It was Westminster or Bournemouth University. Those were the two hot places at the time. So if I didn't get into those two, then I would spend a year doing whatever it took to get me an interview the following year at those places.
Where do you think that passion came from and that sort of determination that that was the thing that you were going to do?
I don't really know. I think, well, my understanding now, and as crazy as this might sound, is I have since found some faith in my life and I have God in my life. I wouldn't class myself as very religious, but I believe in Jesus. I believe he said who he said he was. And so my life has been kind of transformed by following his teachings.
So did you do work experience whilst you were at school or university?
I did. I had a job as it wasn't work experience. I had a money earning job as a waiter for 4 years from 14 to 18. That was a great start. I learned a lot about dealing with people and money and in that time. I also at university was a tour guide at an aquarium, which was a lot of fun.
And what do you think, looking back, did you, besides obviously being paid for those jobs, what did you learn or what skills did you pick up that have helped you in later life?
It's really important to have the same passion in, just basically forget what pay grade you're on. Have the same passion in your job as if you were in your dream job, because you're not going to be suddenly achieving those, you know, those higher pay grade things straight away. You've just got to have the passion early on. Mm-hmm. And that will really, really pay off.
And so when you came to leave university, you had a bit of an experience, didn't you, of, being grounded, as it were. You were saying that it was quite difficult to get that first job.
Yes. So something that I don't want to pin this on the university. It was more a specific lecturer that's no longer there. He sort of got it into our minds that we were something very special by being at this university, and we were in the top 2%, and employers were going to be falling over themselves to employ us. So that installed a certain amount of arrogance, which was a huge mistake. A lot of us went out there and found it really quite hard to get a job, and I was one of them. And so after 6 months of not being employed, I decided I just needed to take any job just to get me to London, just so that I'm in the thick of it. And that turned out to be for a food and drink marketing company. But what I didn't realize was that I was going to be being dressed as a giant raspberry,
okay,
sampling food and drink.
Right. So tell us about that role and how did you move from that role as a giant raspberry?
Yeah. So I turned up to work and there I was in this 4 foot wide costume with my head sticking out the top. It was the most humiliating 3 days of my life.
Yeah.
What I did notice was in the office, they had a design department and a video camera sat there. So I said to the guy just who ran the company out of sheer desperation, let me take that camera home for the weekend and show you what I can do, how I can be better value for you as a member of staff. And so I did that, made this little video. They loved it. I spent the next 18 months creating all of their in-house videos and became their still photographer for some of their large brands.
That's amazing. I just want to pause there and sort of pull out the lesson from that, which is, you know, sometimes you have to take roles to get on the job ladder, but you can then start to look around for opportunities and spot opportunities where you can add value, but also do something more akin to what it is you really want to do. And this is a great example of where you saw that opportunity, convinced them that you would do it in your own time at the weekend, and it paid off for you.
Absolutely. And it, like I say, it wouldn't have happened unless I just took that leap of, you know what, I'm just going to get out there in the workplace and do this. That's not to say I'm not going to stay focused on what I really want to do, but there's nothing like being a giant raspberry to sharpen
your
senses.
Forward. And then you sort of had that experience again, didn't you? Because you were telling me about competitions.
Yeah. So something that I've learned is there to have passion projects. By that, I mean things that are outside of your normal job is really, really important, particularly in filmmaking. So there are many, many competitions, many film festivals out there. There's so much opportunity. And what a competition effectively gives you is a brief and a deadline. So the brief, okay, the parameters of creating something, and most importantly, a deadline, because it's so, you know, so often when we're like, okay, I'm gonna do this, I'll make this little thing, it just doesn't ever get finished. But with a competition, there's a deadline. So worst case scenario is, you know, you don't win anything, but you have something for your showreel. It makes you more interesting to employers, to friends, to other colleagues, because having your own project definitely makes you more interesting. That's worst case scenario. Best case scenario is that you actually win.
Mm.
And if you win, then you've got the added exposure of the press that or whatever the competition holds for you. So in my book, that's always been a win-win thing. And competitions have directly led to career progression with me.
So you were saying that you won one particular competition, and that led you to a much more senior role than the one that you were holding when you participated in the competition. So tell us about that.
I was working, making videos for FHM.com. They're sort of online video content stuff. And
that must have involved lots of travel
and
glamour,
did
it? That
was lots of travel, yeah. That took me all around the world, making films behind the scenes of photo shoots and interviews with actors and all sorts of different things. And I was responsible for creating these little two-minute videos where I would go out, shoot it myself, edit it myself. Start to finish, it was down to me. That was great, but what it did is it gave me access to equipment to make my own stuff in my spare time. So I would look out for these competitions. There was one particular competition for the Electoral Commission to get people out voting. I shot something over the weekend. It cost me £30 to make. And then that won the national competition. It played in cinemas all around the country. And The Guardian wrote about it, and that put me on a different level in the eyes of my current employer. So when the next big job that I wouldn't have got a look in otherwise, it was directing a PlayStation commercial for one of their games, I would never have even got a look in. But because I just won this competition, I became a very cost-effective solution for that production company to say, well, let's give him the job. And with that on my showreel, that meant that I could then apply for much more senior jobs that I was always on the lookout for the next opportunity. And that led to a much more senior role in my next job.
Which was for a large media company.
It was for a large media company. And it was for a department that specialized in video games. And I spent the next 3 years creating behind the scenes films, TV commercials, making ofs, all for the video games industry.
The world of sort of filmmaking, and you were just mentioning a little bit of it, involves travel, glamour, excitement and everything, you know, we associate with that world. But there is a downside as well, which you experience.
You're mentioning all the sort of glamour and stuff. It's an awful lot of hard work. It's not a huge amount of glamour, to be honest.
Yeah.
There was the inevitable kind of party scene that goes along with, you know, many industries. There's, you know, the drink and drugs and partying, all the fun stuff. And that in my life got completely out of hand. It was started off as fun, and then it was fun with problems, and then it ended up just being problems with problems. And I found myself, much to my disbelief, completely addicted to cocaine. And it was a very dark period of my life, and I tried everything to stop, and I simply couldn't. So I left my job, I ran away, I did all sorts of crazy stuff, but I fortunately found recovery, found the 12-step program, and that completely turned my life around. And within the first month of my recovery, I managed to land a quite a senior job at BBC Worldwide, and my life began to turn around.
That's amazing. So I'm really sort of grateful that you mentioned that, because sometimes I think people can feel that, you know, they've hit a wall and there's tremendous adversity, but you're a great example of how, you know, with determination, you can overcome that and then move on to the next
step. It's not about how low you go, it's about how high you bounce back up.
Absolutely.
So something that recovery taught me was it stripped away my pride and ego. And I, like many people, had a lot of pride and ego. I didn't realize it at the time. But what that did was it restricted my potential. And it took me to really hit rock bottom to understand that. And I'm not suggesting that everybody should run out and hit as a rock bottom as I did. But just to have an awareness and understanding that pride and ego can restrict your ability. Well, what I mean by that is I would never have had the confidence to make the sacrifices that I needed to start my own business had I have not gone through what I went through.
Absolutely.
So when I was employed and I was working at the BBC, my kind of status, if you like, was more important than
your mission.
Than my mission. And so what I needed to do to start my own business, because I didn't want to lose my house, was to move into my living room, sell my car, rent out the spare rooms so that my bills were covered. And that's what I did. Now, before, my pride and ego would never have allowed me to lose the car and you know, be living in my living room. What would people say?
And this is the reality of starting businesses very often. And that's really a great lesson. Moving on to your current business, I know you've made over 1,000 films. You've got some amazing clients such as 10 Downing Street and BBC, etc. Tell us about a sort of a typical week for you.
A typical week is difficult to describe because they vary so much. One of the great things about what I do is the varied projects. And by that, I mean something could be an animation for a company or a charity. I might be self-shooting a project in Tanzania where I'm on a remote village somewhere. I could be making a film for the Prime Minister's wife that got screened at 10 Downing Street. It's very difficult to say a typical week, but that's one of the things that I love, is that there is no typical week.
And where would this lead to? I mean, obviously, you're phenomenally successful making these films, and a lot of them are high profile. I know, you know, you have since won a number of awards. Where next? Not necessarily for you, but, you know, for someone, you know, involved in this industry and doing the type of thing that you do, where could that lead to?
I think it's important to aim high, but really have a clear goal, because I'm guilty of it. I had my ladder against the wrong wall for many years. And by that, I mean, I started to pursue a certain area of the business, and very quickly, you know, the years go by and suddenly you've climbed the ladder in this area, but you're like, actually, that's not what I wanted to do. That wall over there is more attractive, and climbing back down and moving the ladder can be a real challenge. Mm-hmm. That's not to say you can't, and that's something that I have done and keep continuing to do. So my ambition is still the same as when I was 4. I wanted to direct feature films. I'd love to be there one day, and I have things in motion in my personal time, passion projects to make that one day happen. But in the meantime, I continue to tell the stories that come to me. And what I love about it is the influence that is having and the difference that it is making in the world. It's a tangible difference, and it's inspiring.
And to be as successful as you are in this industry, what sorts of attributes do you think that one needs?
I think I have to wear many hats to make all the things happen that go on in my life. But I would say the most important thing beyond sort of technical skills of making films is just being a good people's person. It's about being able to adapt your personality to other people's personalities. What I think is really key is your mindset. So I'm someone that has been quite stubborn with my ambition. And by that, you need to sort of have the wisdom to know when you're stepping off the path, but also to really be true and authentic to what your goals are. And sometimes that means going against some advice. So when I've done that, it has paid off. Another thing I would say is whatever sum of money you set as a salary goal is what you will earn. So if you think, well, I'm never going to earn more than 10 grand or 15 grand, you won't. So you know, set your goal realistic, but set it high, because you're not going to earn more than that goal that you set.
And for those individuals that are now sitting here inspired to want to follow in your footsteps, what would you suggest they ought to do?
The most important thing I would say, beyond the obvious sort of, you know, learning whatever skill that you're wanting to get into, be that editing or learning camera skills, although I would recommend that you do all of it. In my opinion, I think being multi-skilled is really crucial.
And to have an understanding as well.
Have an understanding, and it doesn't put all your eggs in one basket. So sometimes someone needs an editor, or sometimes someone needs a camera operator. And if you can do both, then there's just more opportunities to work.
And how easy is it to get work experience in these different areas?
I think to get work experience is relatively easy. Getting paid work experience is hard. It's an industry that is quite renowned for exploiting people, because there is an awful lot of people that are hungry for that post. And so many employers can be guilty of not paying people, because there's so many people that want those opportunities. And I think it's a balance between getting your foot in the door and working really hard and being prepared to make bacon sarnies and be prepared to do anything just to get your foot in the door, but also to know your worth and know when the right time is to start earning money.
For people that are wanting to sort of have a look at your work and maybe even ask you some questions, Luke, where would be the best place for them to go and find you?
So I've got a couple of websites. I've got my director's website, which is just my name, lukebradford.com, or my production company, which is frogspawnfilm.com. And I'm on Twitter, which is at Luke's Films.
And Luke, is there a favourite film that you'd point them to?
My favourite film is The Book of Eli. And the reason for that is it's a film that anybody of any faith or religion or atheist, agnostic, whatever, can watch and really, really love. But essentially, it is a film about God. And I love that.
And is there a film as well that you've made that you'd like them to see?
I've just made a film for the Archbishop of Canterbury called The Light, which was the hardest, most challenging project I've ever done. And I completed it this year. It's just played at the Royal Albert Hall, and it's up for a Jerusalem Awards, which is hosted by BAFTA in November. So that is something that is deeply personal to me. So if there's one thing that I'd love you to watch, it would be that. The Light can be found on lukebradford.com or on frogspawnfilm.com.
Luke, thank you so much for sharing. That's been amazing. And I'm sure it's inspired a number of our listeners.
My pleasure.